What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more.
So, thank you, first of all, Rusty, for doing that song. I asked him to do that song, and I love that song that we just did, and it's really getting it great, and I feel like it really fits in with what I wanted to talk about. And that's what's really cool is how I think one thing I love about God is how he just makes everything work out. A month ago, I went to Andy, and I said, hey, I kind of have this sermon that God's been pushing on me kind of for Valentine's Day. And I know that that's Super Bowl Sunday, so you might want to preach. And then Andy was like, you know what? Actually, I'm going to be doing commercials, so that'll actually work out really well. But it's even more cool when we talked about what I was going to talk about, what God's been laying on my heart, really actually fits in with everything that we've going on. With Creekor and Andy, we've kind of been going over, you know, who the Father is, who the Son is, who the Holy Spirit is. We went through the Trinity. And then last week, Creekor talked about who is man. And God had already been laying on my heart like a month ago of just this concept of what is love. And I think it really fits in because that all is tied together of all those other sermons that we've kind of been going over. And it was really great. I missed last week because I was at the winter retreat with the youth group. But after I got back, I listened to Creekor's sermon, and I just really loved because everything that I knew God had laid on my heart really fit in with what he had already said, and he really laid the groundwork for it. So, I mean, one hand we can say Creekor, Andy, and I are really smart, but I think maybe more accurately, God is really smart. So what is love? How do we define love? And it's actually interesting when I was thinking of what song to pick. I picked that one because it's fun. But there's so many songs actually that even are just called What is Love or What's Love, something along those lines. And I think that really speaks to our culture of we define love in a lot of different ways. We call a lot of things love that maybe are or are not love. Last week, Creekor talked about the postmodern view of who man is and what makes someone man, what makes someone human, who are you? And I kind of wanted to talk about what the postmodern view of love is. And I think an important thing to recognize is that most things with even the postmodern philosophy, it's not so much that the postmodern philosophy has a philosophy of things, rather it's more of just a criticism of the modern philosophy. They kind of just took things that they saw and were like, well, we don't like that, and we're going against that. I put this, love is love is love is love is love. Maybe you've heard that phrase. It was famous by Lin-Manuel Miranda, one of his acceptance speeches. And I love a lot of his writing, but the concept of love being love, like, well, if it's love to these people, then that's love. And I don't think that that's really the case. I think there's issues with that. I think God has defined love to us. And I think when we go outside the boundaries of that, I think it's actually insulting to what love can be in God's eyes. And let me explain that a little bit more. Several years ago, when in an attempt to understand more of youth and even more just, I don't know, I guess, Lamar, I should have had you as an expert in young slang and stuff, but in an attempt to stay in touch with the youth, and that's when Snapchat was like all the craze, and so I had gotten on Snapchat and was using that. And they had, I guess they still do, I don't know if it still exists, I haven't been on it in forever, I deleted my account, but They have stories and just different, you know, publications and sources make stories that they would put out every so often. And there was one that was called Love Don't Judge. And I remember looking at it and just even from seeing what it looked like, I knew what maybe the agenda was and what I was expecting to come out of that. But I was like, well, I want to see, you know, what is the world saying right now? And so I like looked at their first story, and their first story was talking about like a couple who the husband was handicapped and was a quadriplegic, and when the girl started dating him, her family was like, you know, that's going to be a lot to date him and to be in a relationship with him. There's going to be a lot of hurdles and a lot of things you're going to have to jump over. And they talked about how even they were shunned by some people in their family, and that was what they struggled with. And I was like, well, that's a good thing. Like, it's not a good thing that the people were against them being together, but I'm like, well, there's nothing wrong with that, like loving someone who's a quadriplegic and staying together despite other people being like, I can be down with that. And then there was another one where it was an interracial couple and they were facing some of the same things. And I was like, no, these are all things that are good, that people should be staying together despite those things and not letting people talk them out of relationships for the wrong reasons. And then we started to see the trajectory I was expecting. Then they started to have one that more talked about, couples in the LGBTQ community and couples, and then even people who were polyamorous, and started talking about, like, I'm married, blah, blah, blah. But then she also wanted to have another person into our relationship, and I was resistant to it, and it started going in this direction. I was like, okay, I'm getting to where I'm disagreeing with all this stuff. And then I remember seeing one where it was like, 19-year-old Sarah fell in love with 63-year-old John. And I was like, okay, this is really like, this is where I can't say all of this stuff is love. We can't say all of these things are love and what love is supposed to be. And I finally remember when I finally was like, I'm not even going to waste my time looking at this to stay in touch with the culture. But finally they had one where I can't remember her name or whatever, but it was a girl who was had objectphilia. Maybe you've heard of that. I remember hearing about it decades ago and forgot about it, but basically this concept of people who fall in love with inanimate objects. And it was a lady who was in love with this plane. And I really wanted to show a video of it to really put it into perspective, because I think it's one thing to say it, and it just, when I say it, it sounds like you can just brush it off as like, well, these are like weirdos or whatever. But like, in some ways, I guess, I don't know if this is the right phrase, humanize it, make it, just put it up front. But the problem is it's hard to show, there's lots of videos of different people with different things. The problem is nobody wants, I would have to edit it down way too much that it would even make sense, because it's just all these like videos of people like kissing and snuggling with like a plane or a car, and it's just like, this is weird. No one wants to see this Sunday morning. So I'm not doing that, but it really is. I mean, these people are genuinely, they love this plane and it's their life. And there's even one like where you laugh at it when you see it, but the more you watch it, the more it goes from funny to kind of just hurting and to feeling sad. And there's this one of this guy who loved his car, and they even did like a follow-up with him. And like 4 years later, after they had done the video with him, his car crashed. And then he was like, they're crying and talking about like he lost this loved one in his life. And it just made me feel sad. And here's the thing. And several of them, the people said, like, people can tell me this isn't love. I don't care what they say. I love this car. This car loves me. And nothing, no one's going to change my mind. And the problem with that is what that means for love, if that's what love is. And I don't mean it in a way that, like, they're ruining it for the rest of us so they can't have their love. Like, I don't even necessarily mean it in that. I just mean that that's not what love is and they're missing it. Because love reciprocates. And here's the problem. If you're in love with a plane, you can say that that plane loves you back, but it doesn't. That plane doesn't feel any emotions for you. That car doesn't feel any emotions for you. That car doesn't do anything for you. And I don't want to miss acknowledging the fact that maybe some of us have been in relationships with a human who can reciprocate love, but maybe haven't reciprocated love. And I know how much that hurts. Here's why this is important. We've talked about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Krikor talked about how we as man were made in the image of the Trinity. And it's a complex thing, and it's hard for us to wrap our minds around how the Trinity works. But one of the things that's really important that I think we fail to grasp about the Trinity is the Trinity is three persons, one God, three persons who do submit to one another. Jesus submitted to the Father when he decided to go on the cross. I mean, when he was in the garden, he prayed, I don't want to do this, but your will be done, not mine. God submitted to himself. The Son submitted to the Father. We are made in the image of a triune God. If we were made in the image of a God who was just one person, there would be a God who only knows how to love one way, because there's no self-love within. There's no person giving love to another person and submitting to one another. So if that was the case, I would say maybe it's a little bit more understandable for us to be people who love one way but don't receive love back, who don't receive submission back. But we weren't. We were made in the image of a God who loves within himself. That mutual love is in our being. And so when we are kind of people who don't want love back, who don't expect love back, or are confused about the love that we're getting back, I think that that says about how we have maybe fallen away from our nature of who we are in our very soul that God designed us to be. Love reciprocates. What would you do if you were in a relationship where love does not reciprocate itself? Maybe you've been there. Maybe you haven't. A lot of times we might get into a relationship where that reciprocation happened at first, where someone gave back to us, but maybe we hit some point in our relationship where it became complacent. I remember I had a manager that I used to work for, at the time I was engaged, and I remember he gave me the advice of, now, right now you're engaged, but I just want to warn you, because this is what happened to me. Once I got married, everything changed. She was completely different, acted different, and that's going to happen to you. And I remember like being really mad and being like, well, maybe that's what your experience was. I feel like my wife and I have gotten to know each other really well. I don't feel like my wife is putting on a front and is like, I'm going to be this kind of woman. And then once I got him locked down, I'm good and I'm checking out. Like, I remember that's kind of what the vibe that he gave me. And when we got married, I wasn't the case. It didn't feel like my wife turned into a different person. Now the dynamics of our relationship 100% changed. But it has always been part of our communication is that we want to stay in a marriage where our love is reciprocated, where we submit to one another, where we care for one another. And that's biblical. 1 John tells us, 1 John 4:7-8, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." God loves us. And because of that, because he is love, and love has been woven into the fabric of who we are, it is part of our nature to go and love people, but also to be loved back. And in the same way, I would say, God loves us. Our love should be reciprocated to him as well, not just to others. I think it's also easy for us to get caught up in the thought of, we serve this great God who sent his son to die for us, and that's amazing, and we all appreciate that and love that, but we maybe sometimes fail to realize we're supposed to give back to God. Now, we can't. God doesn't need us, but he wants us. He wants a relationship with us. And in some ways, that is a way where we can fall and break from what God originally designed us to be, people who love mutually. Instead, we become people who become complacent, or we become people who love someone who doesn't love us back. Love needs to be reciprocative because we serve a triune God, a God of the Trinity. And I want to make one clarifier too, because I have heard this argument. I've heard someone say, well, if God is the Trinity and there's three persons in that Trinity and our love is reflective of that, then if I'm in a polyamorous relationship, that's okay, right? But here's the difference that I want to make. God's love within himself is not a romantic love. It's the kind of love that we have for other human beings. It's the love, agape. If you're familiar with C.S. Lewis that he talks about, it's that love of submission where you completely care for another person and submit yourself to them, sacrifice for them. The Trinity is not okaying us to be in a relationship with multiple people because one person is not enough for us. That's not how God designed us to be. And while we do see people with multiple spouses in the Old Testament, we also see God condemning that in the Bible. We also see Jesus only speaking of monogamous relationships. And I just want to make this really clear that while I have mentioned romantic relationships and how in a romantic relationship, love needs to reciprocate, but even in non-romantic relationships, in the way that you love your family, in the way that you love your neighbor and your coworker, and the way that you love everybody else in the world, that is supposed to be one that is reciprocated. But it is not... It's not something where we, it's not something where we neglect other people. It's not something where we have a broken relationship or love. Love is supposed to challenge us, okay? But it doesn't abuse us. Here's what I mean by that. Another one of those stories of the love doesn't judge. There was a person, it was a relationship where a woman talked about how her husband controls everything that she does, and that's what her relationship was. And it's interesting because the husband kept saying multiple times, I believe in a traditional marriage. And he talked about, he picks what the wife wears. He decides what she does for the day. She stays at home. She makes him food. She brings him food, all these things. And it's like, I kind of guess like why you're saying that's traditional, but not really. And it even goes to the point where they bring out that he is allowed to sleep with other women, and she is not. And that's not a traditional marriage. But... it's what was really telling, I think, of this concept of people who maybe convince themselves that they're in love and they're not, is this, at one point you see the interviewers ask the lady, so why is it okay for your husband to sleep with other women? And she goes, and you kind of see like a wave of emotions go through her face really quickly, and then she goes, can we cut? And then they cut. And then it goes to the husband, and then he answers the question, and he gives this bogus answer of, well, men are different than women, and they can, love is just a physical thing, and they can be with other women, and it not be a thing. And if you look at the animals, if you look at all the animals, they all sleep with, the men have a bunch of, you know, partners, and the women don't, and all these things. And this is all this stuff where it's just completely backwards and messed up. But I thought it was really telling of where this woman was afraid to answer the question, didn't know how to answer the question. It clearly struck a chord whether she would have admitted it or not. That is not a loving relationship. That is an abusive relationship. But love does challenge us. Anybody who is married in this room can tell you that love challenges you. And even if you're not married, you can probably talk about how love challenges you, whether that's love of people who you want to be friends with or people who you care about, family members, friends. Love challenges you. And that's a hard thing, but it's also a wonderful thing right? And here's the thing. When you're married or you're in love with a plane or a car or balloons or whatever, you're missing that. And now maybe some people might say, well, that's fun. I don't need something to challenge me because I want to just keep living an easy life where I'm not challenged. But there's no growth in that. When you're living in a relationship, when you're in a marriage, or even if it's not a marriage, if it's just your parent relationship or relationship with your friend, when you're with someone who challenges you, your relationship with God who challenges you, it makes you a better person. It's hard and it's a struggle, but it makes you a better person because it makes you more like God. When you accept the challenges that God gives you, it makes you a better person. And sometimes we can get stuck in a way where we're, our relationship with God, we're not really listening to him and we're not letting him challenge ourselves. Much like maybe a man who is with his wife and says that she just does what he says and that's it, where he's not ever going to get challenged. He's not ever going to change. He's not experiencing the love that God designed for us. And he might think he's happy now, but he's not. Love doesn't abuse us. Love challenges us. And this might be a hard thing too, but I also want to address what I'll hear a lot of people say, and maybe a lot of people in a very liberal viewpoint will say, I hear what you're saying and I agree with what you're saying. But what about people who are in homosexual relationships? They love each other. They care about each other. No one's getting hurt. They could be doing all the things that you're saying. And I'm not going to disagree with the fact that, yes, they could be submitting to one another and they could be loving one another in that sense. But that isn't how love is defined in the Bible. That is not how marriage is ever explained in the Bible. And people can say, but look, I have this feeling, I have this emotion for this person, this attraction to this person, and you can't tell me that that's not real. And you know what? I'm not going to tell someone that that's not real. But I also acknowledge that I can feel things, and I can believe things, and I can want things, and maybe those wants and all those things are real, but that doesn't mean that's what I'm supposed to have. I mean, I wish I could say this wasn't true, but if I'm being honest, I can tell you that I have been attracted to women who are not my wife. Now, does that mean I should be able to be with women who are not my wife? No. Has my wife maybe been attracted to men that aren't me? Probably. Oh, you laugh at that one, but not when it's me. But that doesn't mean that she's supposed to be with someone else. And if I were to pursue that, I would be missing so much of my relationship with my wife. I would be missing so much of my relationship with God because of how my relationship with my wife is. I mean, in its simplest form, being a Christian means denying oneself for what God wants for you. So my interaction with anybody who's ever from the LGBT community has always been, it's not about me saying what you feel is or is not real. I just know what God commands me to do, and I follow those things, regardless of how I feel about it sometimes. And I have found there's a lot of things that I didn't want, but I submitted to God and eventually started to love those things and appreciate those things. But I have also been in places in my life where there was something that I knew I loved and I knew I wanted, and I could make it work. And this is where we run into another problem with love challenging us. I've talked about this before, but I was once in a relationship that was an abusive relationship. Now, at the time, I didn't think of it that way. I didn't realize it that way. I just knew that this relationship, I loved this person. I wanted to be with this person, and so I was going to do everything I could to make it happen. And I knew it wasn't exactly right, and it was broken, and it wasn't what it was supposed to be, but I knew if I keep working on this, I can make this relationship work. And I even would have thoughts of like, you know, God loves me even though I'm broken and he doesn't give up on me, and so I should not give up on this person. So I stayed in an abusive relationship because I thought I could make it work. That wasn't what God was telling me to do. God had been giving me so many signs of getting out of that relationship, but I wasn't listening to God. I was listening to what I wanted and what I was convinced I could make work. And I get that maybe this gives conflicting feelings, because this is an easy way of then saying, well, that person that's hard for me to love, if it's hard, I'm not supposed to love them. But once again, I want to draw the distinction between romantic love and agape love. Love that is just how we care about one another people. If you should and probably do have broken people in your lives who need to know love, need to know God's love, need to know who God is, and need you to reach out to them. And I'm not saying, hey, those people are hard, those people hate you. That's on them, and you should get out of that abusive relationship. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if you are in a romantic relationship with someone and they are abusive to you and they're hurtful to you, you need to back out of that relationship. And maybe you have a family member, maybe you've had a parent who has been physically or emotionally abusive to you. You can still love those people without letting yourself become abused by those people. You can make boundaries. You can change the dynamic of your relationship. You can still show them love without completely letting them just abuse you and brutalize you. And if you are struggling with that and need help with that, I recommend you find someone to talk to about that. Find one of the pastors. Find counseling where you can figure out that dynamic, because I can't give you a one answer to how you handle those relationships, because it really depends on the case and it depends on the people. It depends on your story. But going back to the romantic relationship, just because this is something that you want, that doesn't mean it's something that God wants for you. Because we are broken people, right? We fell. So sometimes it's in our, just because something's in our nature doesn't mean it's right. Our heart deceives us. The Bible tells us that. First John 4:9-10. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, in these verses, I've had some green words highlighted, and I wanted to point out that these things are actions. Because I think that that's the biggest thing about love that we miss. Love is an action. Love is a verb. I don't like this idea of love being a noun. Because then love is just about your feelings, and that's really not what it is. I've met so many people who tell me that they love someone and they've met the love of their life, and they're going to be with this person forever, and then don't be with that person forever. When we convince ourselves that this is love, and because of how I feel this way about this person. When I'm around this person, they make me feel this way. That's great, and maybe that's how you define love, but I would say a lot of those things are attraction, infatuation. That's how I would describe those things. It's not love. And I know I've told this before, but like, I remember in high school, like, seeing a girl and being like, that was like, I was such a hopeless romantic and a love at first sight kind of person. I saw this, I was like, that's the love of my life right there. And I was in love with that person in my mind for so long. And then eventually coming across someone else and being like, that's the love of my life right there. And it's like, if you have multiple ones, then that's not the love of your life, right? Your feelings can deceive you. And so you get into danger when you follow your feelings. A plane cannot be the love of your life because it can't love you back, because it can't challenge you. Love changes. Love changes you. And I kind of put this up because I wanted it to be a little, I wanted it to maybe make you think. Because I don't mean love in the sense of a noun changes. Well, you know what? I married this person and I did love them, but we've been married for 12 years and I just don't feel the same way about them as I used to. And that's why I know we're not supposed to be together anymore. I don't mean love changes in that way because, once again, that's a feeling. Love changes you. It's a thing that you strive for day in and day out. And I think that's what's amazing about love. It's something that you choose even when it's hard. And it'll change that person. Because when someone loves you, when maybe you haven't always deserved love, it changes you. And when you love someone who challenges you, it makes you change. More importantly, when we love God who challenges us and loves us, it changes us. 1 John 4, 11 through 12. Dear friends, since God has loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Isn't that fascinating? That the completion of God's love is his relationship with us. That's what it was all about from the very beginning, is completing his love in us. From the fall, it was broken. And it didn't become complete until he sent his son to show us what love was, to die for us, to love us in the most ultimate way possible. And that's an action, that's a thing that God is doing. And look back at creation in the very beginning. God didn't create us because he had a feeling for us. He chose to make us out of love. Our very creation was an action of love. And that's why that's what love has to be. Every couple that I have ever married, I have always said to them, when they're talking about when we're planning their wedding and how the ceremony is going to be and how it's going to be and how they're feeling, I'm trying to gauge their emotions. What I always try, one of the biggest things of advice that I always say to them, like, what I want you to know, what's most important is that this day, I know there's a lot of pressure on this, and you have a lot of feelings about this. This day is not, should not be the best day of your life. Because I hear a lot of people talk about, like, oh, this is the best day of my life, I'm getting married. And I mean, and maybe on that day, if it's the best day of your life that you've had so far, cool. But it should not be the best day of the rest of your life. I mean, what would that say about marriage if, like, you get married and it's like, we're done. It's not going to get any better from here on out. Like, how broken of a viewpoint is that? My wedding day with my wife was not the best day of my life. It was a great day. It was a wonderful day. But I can say confidently that, I mean, we've had challenges, but every day has been better than the last day. Because we have worked hard to reciprocate love to one another, to show one another how we love each other, to care for one another, to always communicate to one another about that. We've challenged one another, intentionally or not intentionally sometimes. And that's changed us. It's changed me as an individual person. It's changed Jackie as an individual person, but it's also changed us as a couple. When we got married, one of the things that I really wanted to do in the ceremony was have a candle lighting, which was weird because I did a lot of things that weren't traditional, but then I actually did want to do the candle lighting, even though there's so many other things that you see nowadays, like sand ceremonies and other things. But what I really liked about the candle lighting is that you had these two candles that represented us. No one looked at that candle for me and said, well, that's half a flame. And no one looked at that flame for Jack and said, well, that's half a flame. And when we combined them, no one said, well, that's two flames put together. Like, that's two whole flames. It's one flame. Now, how one whole and one whole added up make one whole, I don't know how that math works, right? I don't, and it's the same with the Trinity. You know, I think Andy said the other week of like, how do you have 100% makes 300%? Don't know, but that's how it works. In your marriage, you are individual people, but you're also one whole people, one her whole person together, joined in marriage. And you'll run into changes. And even, I guess this isn't even restrictive to married couples, but people, even outside of romantic love. When I, 3 months into our relationship, I hit this point where I was very confused. And I mean, when Jack and I were dating, not 3 months into our marriage. And I just had all these feelings that I felt like I was trying to work out, and I couldn't figure them out. And Jackie even recognized, like, what's going on right now with our relationship? Where are we standing? And I was hitting this point of where I was like, that feeling of infatuation or whatever I was feeling, I felt like I wasn't feeling it for Jackie anymore. And I thought, I think I'm supposed to get out of this relationship because I'm not feeling that anymore. But it also felt weird because before Jack and I started dating, I spent a long time with God and meditating with God and praying to God and talking to God of like, am I supposed to be in this relationship? Because I didn't want to jump into a relationship. I was actually trying to stay out of relationships in college because I was really trying to just focus I had newly gained a relationship with God and I was trying to get that right. But God had pushed on me that I was supposed to be with this girl. And so I was like, why would you tell me to be with this girl if in 3 months I'm not supposed to be with her anymore? So I went through all these issues and Jackie and I just met and we talked. And I just talked about, look, this is what I'm struggling with and I don't know what it means and all these things. And we had a good conversation. And then later, I spent more time with God kind of talking about it. And we kind of ended the conversation. We're still going to figure this out together. But I went back and I just had this conversation with God and I almost just dumbed it down because I realized I'm an overthinker. And I think that runs in my family a little bit. But I thought too much about things and I just needed to dumb things down for myself. And maybe this sounds stupid to people, but I just went through this checklist in my relationship with Jackie and I said, am I attracted to this person? Like, do I think this girl is pretty? And I was like, yeah, I do. I said, am I happy? Am I joyful? Yeah. Is she kind to me? Is she caring to me? Yeah. Are we passionate about some of the same things and do our passions complement one another? Yeah. And I basically just went down this checklist of basic questions and I realized, yeah, the answer to all these things is yeah. And I was like, and then God kind of just said to me, so then what's the problem? And I was like, I don't know. And I realized so much things I had put up in my own head. We can convince ourselves of so many things. We, by our hearts, can confuse us. So, you have neighbors out there. You have family members out there. You have people who don't know God that should know God. And maybe like me, you can overthink things and talk yourself out of sharing God's love with those people. Are you not loving other people because that's what God wants, or because that's what you want? How you love others reflects how well you know God. So how well do you know God? If you, at any point in my conversation, have had someone jump into your head of like, yeah, this is a person I'm struggling with, whether it's your spouse, whether it's a coworker or a neighbor, and maybe you've even come to the point of like, I know I'm supposed to love everybody, but I'm done with that person and I'm not doing anything. Or maybe just in general, if you're thinking about your life and you're saying, when was the last time I showed someone God's love? When was the last time I led someone to Christ? I mean, I don't want to be mean, but if you're struggling with that, if there's someone you're struggling with, how well do you know God? I mean, that last verse tells us, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We had the previous verse that says, no one has seen God. People have seen Jesus, but no one has seen God in his entirety. And it also said that God is love. So how do people experience God's love? How do people experience love if they've never actually seen God? Well, because God lives in us and people see God's love through us. So if people are struggling to see God's love in you, do you know God? How well do you know God? How well are you staying in touch with God? And I'm saying these things because this is stuff that God has been, I mentioned earlier, this is a sermon that God's kind of been working on me for a while. And I got to the point of realizing I maybe have become complacent in my relationship with God. And maybe that's why I'm struggling to love other people who I need to love. I just want to let you sit on that. How well do you know God? And what does it mean to know God? If you're not spending every day in prayer, every day in the Bible and the Word, then how can you say you know God? And don't have the error in thinking, well, look, I know God. I became baptized. I turned my life around and I got to know God, so I know God now. Well, you know God, you've met him, you've experienced him, but knowing someone means continuing a relationship with them. My relationship with my wife is great, and it's amazing, and I can say that because we, as hard as we can, work every day to continue to love one another and to continue to know one another. I didn't just marry her and then was like, well, I know her now, we're good. And that's the same way that your relationship with God should be. That's the same way your relationship with your friends should be. You have to keep working on those relationships. It's so easy to get back and realize, I haven't talked to this person in 3 years. It's hard to reach people when you're not working towards them, when you're not making an effort to make time for them. And the last thing I want to challenge you with, and this was actually not originally in my sermon when I wrote it a while back, and some of you may know this story because I just posted it on Facebook, but the other day, on Thursday, driving home from daycare, I was talking to Petra, and she was just telling me how she had a fantastic day at daycare, and she was so happy about it, and she was like, yeah, it was a wonderful day, Dad. And I said, oh, why was it a wonderful day? And I thought she was going to say, well, we went outside, and we did these other things like she normally does, and she said, what she said, she wanted a wonderful day. And I said, well, what is a wonderful day? And I thought she was going to say the things like going outside, like she likes to do. And then she told me, well, wonderful days are when we care about other people and when we love one another. And when we go out and we make sure that people are taken care of. And when we go and hug people, because people love when we give them hugs and when we give them kisses. And I love to give mommy and daddy hugs and kisses. And she said, she said it's specifically my job to care for one another and to love other people. And so here, my not even 4-year-old said that to me, and I'm driving and I'm like trying to not cry while I'm driving because it just hit me of like, yeah, a four-year-old can get it. You know what makes a day wonderful? You know what makes a day great? Loving other people and caring for other people. Here I made the mistake of thinking my daughter would have like such a broken viewpoint and say like, well, days are great when I get presents and when I get to go play and all these things. And like, no, she didn't say that. Her idea of a great day is making other people's day great, is loving other people. So my challenge for you guys is to go and make today a great day. Go love other people and care for other people. Maybe that means hugging someone else. And it's easy, and I know this is maybe the Valentine's cliche, going home and loving your spouse, cool, awesome, great. Go do that. But go love other people too. Go care for other people and make their day great. And maybe more importantly, the people whose days you maybe don't want to make great. Maybe the people who are actively trying to make your day not great. That's what Jesus told us to do. And I'm not saying it's easy, but that's what we're supposed to do. Can you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's your words and not mine, because my words always fall short. Give us the enthusiasm of a four-year-old who just wants to go care for other people. Help us put away all of our brokenness that hinders us from loving other people and for caring other people. And if there are things that are in our way that are preventing us from loving our spouse the way we should, for loving a parent or a child or a neighbor or a friend or a coworker the way we should, I ask that you will bring those things to light. And if we become complacent with you, God, will you bring that to light to us? Reach out to us even more so than you always do. Help us bring things out of our lives that create complacency. Thank you so much for this church who does so well at loving one another and for caring for other people. And just continue to give us that strength. Do all these things through your Holy Spirit, through your Son. Amen. Now go out and make people's day great.